Happy Sunday, everybody! Let's give it up again for the worship team and Mike and Claire. I was so moved. Those words. Just hold on a little longer. This is not the end. Hope is in the Lord. Keep your eyes on Him. Amen? Amen. That's what this Lent season is about, guys. These 40 days, we're really taking intentional time to refocus ourselves so that we can see how we have separated from the Lord, how we have sinned, how we have missed the mark, and how we can return to the Lord. And so we do this by fasting and praying. How is your fast going, guys? I'm fasting Korean dramas. It's very hard, but so good. I didn't know how much free time I actually had. It's allowing me to sleep earlier, wake up early for morning prayer. Woo, woo, morning prayer. I hope you guys at least get to join once during these next 30-some days I think we have left. It's so invigorating to your soul. I promise you won't regret it. So let's pray today and see what God has for us. Amen? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for another opportunity to come before you, to hear what you have to say to us, to refocus and recenter ourselves and our lives on you. So I pray, Lord, will you open up our hearts, open up our ears to hear all that you have for us today, God. And we lift this time up to you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. OMG. It's been a minute, Echo Church. For those of you who are new here, my name is Michelle. I'm one of the pastors here. Why are you laughing? That is my husband. Pastor Brian is my husband. And maybe some of you guys don't know my story, so I want to share a little bit of my faith journey so you guys know. PB often refers to me as his heathen wife, and that is because I didn't grow up in the church. I actually didn't meet God until I was 19 and I was in college. And so you can imagine my faith was like unadulterated. I had no church baggage. I had nothing to really taint my faith in the Lord. And it was 3 years in that I met Brian Kim as he came and spoke at a campus ministry. And little did I know what I was getting into when I married a pastor. Nobody warned me. I didn't know. Not that it changes anything, honey. But I would say the, you know, last, what is it, like 20-some years following God, we planted this church 15 years. It's been good. I could say God is so good. People will come up to me and be like, oh my God, you're a pastor's wife. They would have this look of like you know, pity. Like, oh, poor, woe is you. And I'd be like, I don't know what you're talking about. It's so good. God is good. He's provided. It's been good every season. And then comes 2020 pandemic. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. It was a wilderness for us all, wasn't it? And it was a wilderness for myself. It was during this time that we actually lost one of our dear members, Angela, to COVID. And we had been praying for months on end, daily in hours of prayer, contending for her healing. In July 2020, we lost her to COVID. I did not know what to do with this grief. I had been this person who had a childlike faith that was like, if God said he's going to move the mountain, I believed him. And so when we prayed so earnestly and it didn't come to pass, I just lost it. I was like, oh, I'm weak. I just lost it. I didn't know what to do with my grief. I was depressed. So I did what every really good Enneagram 7 does. I started a TikTok. We all know how that went. We all know how depressed I was. Happening simultaneously at this time, guys, you guys know, it was national upheaval. It was chaos. It was like George Floyd protests. It was like rise of anti-Asian hate. It was purported Christian leaders invading homeless communities, spreading COVID. I mean, it was crazy. It was mayhem. We were angry. We were lost. It was a tough time for all of us, wasn't it? And this, mixed with my personal crises, it just really pushed me further and further away from God. I couldn't pray. I couldn't worship. I didn't listen to any worship during that time. You guys know who I listened to during that time. BTS. Only BTS. And I couldn't preach. I said, Brian Kim, don't ever ask me to preach again. But here we are. So this is a good ending, okay? And if I were to be honest, yes, I couldn't, but honestly, I didn't want to. I didn't feel it. My faith was stuck. I was numb. I didn't want to feel things. I didn't really want to approach God. I just didn't want to. And I think this is really where my faith was at a crossroads. Because in theory, I knew I believed. I know God is good. I know His word is true. I know we go to church for this X, Y, Z. I know. I know in theory that He is good. But I was paralyzed. And I was stuck. And for the first time since we got married, I looked at Brian Kim and I said, why did you choose to become a pastor? Although, why are we doing this? Can we just quit everything? Like, literally, can we just quit? Luckily, he was not in the middle of a faith crisis, so here we are. Have you guys felt this? Was I the only one? Where everything you believe to be true doesn't seem to hold up. Why does my faith feel so stuck? Why do I feel so numb? You know, I think the pandemic was just a really hard season because it was the definition of stuck, wasn't it? We were stuck at home. We couldn't come to church. We couldn't go to work. We couldn't celebrate birthdays together. I mean, we couldn't do anything. We went from 100 miles per hour to zero in a matter of weeks. But we fast forward now. It's 3 years later, 2023, and life is back. 100%, maybe you're a hybrid schedule, but you're back. You know, you're back, kids are back in school, our kids' schedules, work schedules, our vacation schedules, they're all on track. But there's probably one area that's like taking its time to come back. And it's our relationship with God, isn't it? It's hard. It's hard to like rev up again, to like get into that space for the things of God. There seems to be little space left. Everything came back. Everything came back in a roaring fashion. And there seems to be like little space that we can fit God. So we reevaluate. We go, oh, maybe I need like a change of scenery. Maybe I need a new job. Maybe I need a new church. Maybe I need new friends. Maybe I need a new relationship. Maybe something needs to change out here. Maybe then there'll be space. But I think what it did actually, the pandemic, what it actually did is actually revealed that we may have been in that rut long before. But the busyness of life, even the religiosity of our lives, probably covered that really well. So how did we get here, guys? How do we get here to this place where we are just so stuck? Our faith is moving nowhere. We don't feel like we are maturing in the Lord. How? How did we get here? We're going to look to Scripture, find out. So we're looking at Mark today. Mark 12, if you have your Bibles with you. Mark 12, 28 to 34 on page 76. And one of the scribes came up and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that he answered them well, asked him, which commandment is the most important of all? Jesus answered, the most important is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. And the scribe said to him, you are right, teacher. You have truly said that he is one, and there is no other besides him. And to love him with all the heart and with all the understanding and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself, is much more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. And after that, no one dared to ask him any more questions. This is the word of the Lord. So let me set the scene for you, what's happening. So Jesus has been having these interactions with the chief priests and the scribes in the temple, kind of like multiple sessions. Imagine Street Fighter and rounds, okay? So every round they're coming up and they're like, Jesus, so what do you think about parable of tenants? You know, what do you think about that? And then Jesus shuts them down. Next he comes, okay, Jesus, we have another one. What about tax, Caesar? Who do we give it to? Jesus shuts them down. Resurrection, they're coming back, right? And then finally, every time though, Jesus knocks them out, KO, shut down. Because when Jesus, he's like, when I pull up, you know it's a shutdown. Okay, did you get it? It was a Blackpink reference. Okay, you guys know I had to put in some K-pop. Okay, don't get distracted. Don't get distracted. So Jesus is shutting them down, okay? He shut them down every single time. So this time a scribe comes up to Jesus, but he's chill. He's not like hostile like the other guys were. So he comes up to Jesus and he's like, Jesus, let's read the scripture. He's not asking in a challenging way. He's asking one of the most important questions of this time. It's kind of like mom's group. And the mom walks in, moms walk in and they're like, the most pressing question is, what's the best sleep training method? It's like that. Okay, it's heavier than that, but you get what I'm saying. That's the analogy I'm trying to make. Basically, it was the talk of the town. It's their industry talk. It's like what they would say. The scribe is essentially asking, what is the one commandment that all other commands rest upon? Now, the most well-known, we know the Ten Commandments. Those are the most well-known. But in actuality, in the Torah, they have 613 commandments that cover everything from your family life to personal hygiene to even diet. So you can imagine, this is no small task. But this was their way of testing. They're like, okay, what are you really about, Jesus? And Jesus comes back with something, it's really predictable. It's something that they expected. He goes, Jesus, you know, he goes, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And this was the right response in the eyes of the, you know, chief priests and the scribes, because this is something that the Jewish people, they recited daily in their Shema, which is their confessional prayer that they did daily. So this is like easy peasy. They're like, okay, we'll give him that one. He passed. But then Jesus starts into the second commandment. The second is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. We've heard these two in our context, in our Bible. How many times have we read this? You guys know it like the back of your hand. So it's not surprising to us, but in this context, though the rabbis, they like encourage this, yes, love your God, yes, love your neighbor, they actually never put the two together in one sentence like Jesus did. And this was really radical for two reasons. So in this culture that really valued the Torah, sacrificial worship, and expressions of love, basically Jesus was saying the Torah, sacrificial worship, doesn't matter. Expressions of love, superior. So imagine the shock. They're standing in the temple, sacrificial worship, right? Kathleen talked about this, like the temple was the place of atonement. And Jesus was saying, nope, none of that matters. None of that matters but loving your neighbor. And the second reason why this is so shocking, so not only was he ignoring these two elements that these people deemed to be like the most important by their law, the second reason why this is so shocking is because neighbor, loving your neighbor in the context of the Torah is mentioned in Leviticus. The Levitical tradition talks about loving your neighbor as non-exploitation. Meaning, it's laid out in the commandments. When you love your neighbor, you will be sure to leave resources for the poor. Do not defraud them. Do not lie. Don't profane the name of God. Do not discriminate. And do not oppress the poor. And you're like, well, yeah, that sounds right. But the reason why this is so shocking is because ironically, in that society and in that time, the people who exploited the poor the most were the scribes and the priests standing right in front of him. So you can imagine, it's awkward. It's like Jesus just called them out and it's like elephant in the room. But surprisingly, the scribe reacts very positive, right? Everyone else was so hostile to this point, but the scribe, even at this point, he's like, you know, you are right, teacher. You have truly said that he is one and there is no other besides him, and to love him with all the heart and with all the understanding and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself is much more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. He's on the right track, guys. Oh my gosh. Give it up. The scribe, he's going to become a disciple. We're like super, super excited for him. But then Jesus responds. And he's like, you are not far from the kingdom of God. And then after that, nobody, the room goes silent. Nobody asks him any more questions. It's done. Shut down again. Wait, so confusing, right? So what just happened? Like, it sounded like it was so going so well for the scribe. Scribe was like on it. He was like tracking with Jesus. He's like, yeah, Jesus, I believe in it. I believe in it. I believe in it. But then Jesus is like, you're so close. So close, but no cigar. Have you guys heard of that term? Someone told me that they've never heard that. I was like, am I that old? I am old. I'm old. But you're so close, but you're not quite there. And Jesus doesn't offer discipleship to him. He doesn't go like, come follow me, like he did on the seashore, right? Like, drop your nets, come follow me, be my disciple, like he did to Peter. And he doesn't do that. Why? Why doesn't he do that for the scribe? Because for someone like the scribe to truly love his neighbor, knowing that it is this group of people that continually exploit the poor, for him to truly enter into the kingdom of God, it would require him to leave the system that continues to oppress. Orthodoxy is not enough. He needs orthopraxy. Orthopraxis, so that's what it's about, guys, right living. And this might sound familiar because this is really similar to the story that happened a couple chapters before in Mark. In Mark 10 about the rich young ruler. We know this story, right? Rich young ruler is similar vibe. He walks in, he's like, I want to get into your kingdom. I do. Tell me, what does it take? And, you know, I'm paraphrasing a lot of this, okay? and Jesus is like, you got to keep to the commandments. You know, don't steal, don't murder, honor your father and mother, you know, all of that. And he's like, I got you, Jesus, I did it. I've been doing that since I was little, but what do I lack? And I love this part, because Jesus is so kind. Verse 21, and Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, you lack one thing, go, sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. Disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Sell what you possess, give to the poor. Leave the system that continues to oppress equals loving your neighbor. So both the scribe and the young ruler, they knew in theory, oh, they were so smart, guys. They knew in theory, they've been practicing it. They were good at being good on paper. But they could not put into action what it actually took to enter into the kingdom of God. They didn't want to do the things that would stop exploiting and that would continue to oppress their neighbor. So what they really needed to repent of to enter the kingdom of God and become a true disciple of Christ was to repent of the sin of inaction. So what is this saying? What is this saying? So Jesus is saying, essentially, even though we may know in our head how good God is, what it takes to be in his kingdom, we may be completely missing the mark. Completely missing the mark. We are like, here's the kingdom of God. We're like, right here. We're like, right there, but not quite. But in our head, guys, we may be living a lie that we think that we are true disciples of Christ if we are not embracing that second half of the commandment. Right? In theory, do we know and embrace and we know all the scriptures, we know what to do, we know what it takes to look as Christian as possible? And deep inside, we have good intentions too, a lot of good intentions. But it never moves from intention to action. Action to leave the system that continues to oppress our neighbor, exploit the women and children, and leaving us ill-equipped and unprepared to live our lives as disciples of Christ. Now, I know you're thinking, defrauding the poor, exploiting women and children. If you're doing this in real life, let's talk. This is a serious matter. But for us in our context here in SoCal and OC, what does that look like? I think it comes in the form of our comfortable, distracted, busy lives, doesn't it? When our schedules, kids, work, et cetera, takes precedence over the things of God and his kingdom and his what's on his heart. So we make little excuses here, exceptions there, and before you know it, there's little space to actually love on our neighbor. And it's only inevitable that with less and less movement towards the other, our inner man and our spirit will begin to die. We are attempting the impossible, guys, if we are trying to conjure up feelings of God without truly embracing the second half of this commandment. We are constantly holding in this space of intention, good intentions. I intend to do the things of God. I intend to love on my neighbor. I intend to do all these things, God. You know it. You know my heart. But there's that scripture, faith without works is dead. I think we've become such a culture, like we came from our past generations where all they did was work. So we're like, no, we don't want that kind of works. So we kind of went the opposite. But it's true, it's proven that we need to move in action for our faith to be vibrant and living. Don't we want that vibrant life, guys? So back to my story, I realized that God was really not trying to like comfort me out of my numbness and my pain, but what he was really asking me was to move. And that's how I would come unstuck. So during the pandemic, obviously there's a lot that we couldn't do, especially something that was very near to our heart, which is strong families, which Caroline just talked about. And honestly, I didn't have the bandwidth. I didn't have the bandwidth to give it myself. I didn't want to. I was like, I can't open up my house. I just can't. And I paid the price for it. As you guys heard, my inability to connect with God, inability to worship, to pray, or even locate him. But my saving grace was this. Long before the pandemic, long before we had four kids, PB and I had sat down and talked and said, what kind of family do we want to build? We want to be a family that makes intentional space Not just intention, but intentional space and carve it out so that we can love on the other. And so every break the kids had, we made it a point so that we could host. And we were doing that before the pandemic. So despite my condition, thankfully, PB said, look, Michelle, we got to host. We got to do this. So reluctantly, I did. I said, okay. So April 7th, 2020, we hosted. This is in the middle of the pandemic. And then it took a whole year for us to host again, April 15th, 2021. And then we hosted five more times, 2021, 2022. And honestly, guys, when I look back, it's those moments, September 13th, November 25th, January 2nd, April 24th, loving on Genesis, Jonathan, Alex, Mia, hosting them together with my kids, feeding them, giving them a safe place to call home so that their parents could get rest or interview for a job or go to rehab. We thought we were doing something for others, but actually God was doing something in me, guys. And it's all those moments that brought me here to this pulpit. Because I honestly had nothing to say for a long time. And God was moving me from atrophy to life. Because as I pushed myself intentionally to leave the system that would disconnect me from God, I could feel my spirit rising up. And God's saying, are you ready to rise up, Michelle? Are you ready to meet me? Because I'm ready to meet you when you are. And see, there are people waiting on the other side of your obedience. And I think this is why the local church is so crucial to us living out that second half of the commandment. Yes, we are a place for community, for support, for your own faith and healing. Yes, yes, and all of that. It's not here to tickle our flesh so that we can make friends, so it could be a social club, so we can, I don't know, feel like we're going to therapy. That's not what church is. Ultimately, the local church is here so that we can be his hands and feet, and each church has a specific DNA. As you can see from all of our outreach, here at Echo, we're about children, displaced families, and special needs community. It fits in our belong and become. Other churches, it might be prison ministry, addiction rehabilitation. For others, it's local missions like New Song, who does Mix Academy every week, reaching out to the local community. For Grace Church, it's overseas missions. They've been doing it for years on end. You see, this is why church is never a competition. Every family of God has a specific DNA he's given them so that we can minister to those people and those who are in need. Amen? So I honestly believe that there is not one single person out there who is intentionally loving on the marginalized in our society that is not invigorated in their faith. I truly believe that. Find somebody that's usually complaining about everything in their life, from work to church to everything. Usually 9 out of 10, I can guarantee you, there is no loving of the neighbor in their life. Because if you are loving on your neighbor and you're doing your life, there's no time to complain. Am I right? We are so busy. Guys, I have 4 kids. I gotta drive them around, I gotta pack them lunches, I gotta take care of my husband. Like, there's so much to do. There is no room to complain. We all have thorns in our side, am I right? We all have issues, we all have family drama, we all have things that are going on, but there are those who will continue to push through those circumstances and love on the other. And you will see them and you'll go, huh, why is their faith so stable? How have they remained Christian for so long? I want to tell you about some of these people here in our midst, guys. Your brothers and sisters around you. Uriah Lee. Longtime member, board member, she participates in Strong Family and Recess. And she said, you know, God made space for me, so he calls me to make space for others. He's grown my heart for the single parent and homes that lack stability. And it has matured my faith from thinking I can't to God can. James Park, one of the leaders at Recess, long-term member. By serving, he showed me that the power of just saying yes to his invitation. My faith has matured in serving in this way, and it constantly reminds me that God's love for me and others is unchanging. Jane and Aaron Lee. Longtime members, longtime ecclesia leaders. They participate in pantry with their family. And they talk about how witnessing and listening to the healing miracle stories of God gives them joy and helps them to love God and see God, and that God's spirit is contagious. Shane Lee, good neighbor and Recess. It's a way for him, he says, to practice faith in motion and see God work in others. There's been a strengthening of faith and deepening of my relationship with God. And lastly, John and Jen Park, long-term members, strong families. They said, we get a glimpse of God's never-ending love for us. And when we love our neighbor this way, we collectively experience his kingdom of peace, joy, and love. So don't you guys want this? Aren't you looking for this kind of revival in your spirit and in your faith? You draw near to God, guys, and he's going to draw near to you. I guarantee you. 100%. So I don't have many plans. I don't have a lot of things on the list. I have one. One word. And it's move. Move. Move your body towards the other. Move out of intent into action. Join one of the ministries in the announcements. That's why it's there, guys, because we want to equip you. We want to make sure your faith is vibrant and alive. And we can do it together. That's why this is church. This is not a social club. You guys have a lot of social clubs, don't you? This has to be something different here. And you know why we need to do this? Because there are so many people waiting on the other side of our obedience. There are so many people who need respite, who need hope, who really are like, I just need something, God. And we can be part of that. And like I said, we think we're doing it for them, but really God's gonna do something in you. So will you pray with me? Close your eyes. I wanna take us into a time, just you and God. If this word was speaking to you, when you were hearing it and you were feeling rumblings in your spirit, Holy Spirit is talking to you. You've been feeling it for a while. God's been asking you to step out in faith and you've been like, I'm not ready, but it's time, people. There is no time to waste. Life is short. Do not live a lie that you are a disciple of Christ and be just close enough, but not yet in. God is calling us to love our neighbor, to leave the system that oppresses. Are you ready, church? I want to do an altar call, but it's not the altar call where you're raising your hands and inviting Jesus into your. It is. It could be that. If that is you, I invite you. But I want to invite those of you who you're like, you know, it's been too long, God. I'm ready. I'm ready to embrace that second half. I will not be like that scribe and young ruler and not make it into your kingdom. I will not be not a disciple of Christ. I want to be a true disciple of Christ. If that's you, can I invite you to pray before the Lord today? Let's rededicate our hearts to the Lord today. Guys, it's not about how successful this church is gonna be, how big we're gonna be, how many programs we're gonna have. It's not about that. It's about how many people are going to encounter Christ because of our lives. So if that's you, lay a hand over your heart right now. Will you pray? I want to invite some of you. Some of you are feeling the need to kneel. I really invite you. It's a posture. It's a posture before the Lord that says, Lord, I repent of my inaction. I repent of the ways that I have been so far from you because of my own reasons. But Lord, you are good, and I don't just love you in theory, but I want to love you with all of me. I pray you kneel. Kneel before the Lord. Offer yourselves up to the Lord. Lord, we have been so far. We have been so numb. But there are people who are desperately in need of you, God. So break our hearts for what breaks yours, God. Open up our eyes to see, our ears to hear, Lord. Lord, we come against the enemy that tries to deceive us, that tells us that it's okay to just live this way. We say no in Jesus' name. Lord, take the veil off our eyes, God. Help us to feel uncomfortable in that space so that we may recognize, God, when it is time to step out in action, God. So Lord, we dedicate our lives to you again to say we want all of it, Lord. Not just the first half of, in theory, of loving you, but God, we know that to love you is to love our neighbor. So Lord, empower us. We know that you can empower us, Holy Spirit. So we pray, call us out. Call us out of ourselves. Help us leave the system, God. Help us move towards you, God, and the other. Move us out of our apathy. Lord. Thank you, Pastor Michelle, for that word, for that invitation. Receive that invitation from the Lord. To move towards him, knowing that he always, again and again, makes the first move towards us. It's hard to draw near to God without help from God. We cannot honor God with our lips and our hearts. We cannot worship out of obligation without help from God. Paul in Romans 5 reminds us that while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. God proves his love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. In other words, despite falling short, despite honoring just one half of that covenant, despite being far away so close, God draws near to us. God reaches out to us. God is not only here, but he is with us through his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So this is what we remember when we eat the bread and drink the cup. And so friends, the table of the Lord is now ready. It is a table of company with Jesus and those who love him. For what I received from the Lord, I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And after giving thanks, he broke it, saying, "This body, which is for you, eat it in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Whenever you do it in remembrance of me. For whenever you take this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through the amen, God speaks to us to the glory of God. So now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He appointed us, set his seal of ownership on us, and put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. And so, Father, we bring you these gifts, sanctify them by your Holy Spirit. And though we are many, we are one body because we all share in one bread. And as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim your death and resurrection. It is because, God, you are good on your word and faithful to your promises that we proclaim the mystery of faith that Christ has died, Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. Amen. So friends, come to this table. You who have much faith and you who would like to have more. You who have been here often and you who have not been here for a while. You who have tried to follow Jesus so full of good intentions and you who have been faithful. It is Christ who invites you and me, all of us, despite ourselves, here to meet him. So I invite you, church, to come up to our stations in the middle and in the front. If you need gluten-free, please go to Heidi on the right. And people on the outside, if you want to come in, please come in and receive the communion, or we'll come to you. And we'll take the bread and drink the cup together at the end. Sisters and brothers, I bless you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Now is the time. The kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is here. Stop following Jesus on paper. Let's start following Jesus with our lives. Amen. Let God call you out. Let God draw you near. Move toward God.
Move towards your neighbor. Lord, church, let's move from apathy to life. And may Christ be victorious in our church. Amen. God bless you, church. Thank you, Pastor Michelle. Thank you so much for that word.